RadioMD.
RadioMD.com.
Emergency physician, TV personality, speaker, and writer. She's Dr. Lee. It's time for the Dr. Lee Vinoker Show.
Hi, and welcome back to the show, Health from the Outside In on Radio MD. My next topic, interesting, from the American College of Emergency Physicians, and my next guest, a regular guest, Dr. Arcana Reddy. She's an emergency physician in Chicago and a spokesperson for the American College of Emergency Physicians. So welcome, Dr. Reddy. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
This next topic, interesting, Lyme disease. And, you know, the basics with Lyme, but so many people don't get the typical rash. I'll ask you in a minute just to go over some of the symptoms of early Lyme. And then they end up being sick for a long time, and it turns out to be Lyme. So could you have it and not really remember having the initial symptoms? But what are the initial symptoms people should watch out for?
Yes, well, you know, Lyme disease is a tick-borne disease. So one of the things that is important when trying to figure out if you might have Lyme disease is to consider if there's any possibility that you may have been bitten by a tick. And in specific, there's a specific type of tick called the deer tick that transmits Lyme disease. And in the early stages, the signs could be as simple as a rash near the site of the tick bite, and also fever, muscle aches, almost like a flu type of illness.
Mm-hmm. And what people don't realize, you know, you should, if you take a tick off of you, and certainly if it's attached, there is prophylactic treatment, like within several days of tick removal, that you can do, right? Just to ensure that if the bacteria was transmitted, you kill it.
Absolutely. There is prophylactic antibiotics that can be prescribed in a situation where it seems as though you may have been bitten by a deer tick. The other important thing is the tick really needs to be attached to the skin for about 24 to 36 hours for any possibility of transmitting Lyme. So if it's been there, you know, you went outside in the woods and you come back in and, you know, the tick may have been there for a couple hours, you remove it, it's highly unlikely to transmit Lyme disease within
right.
such a short period of time.
Right. Yeah, people, I think, don't think about that. But now, you know, it's interesting, and I always thought, you know, they talk about syphilis as the great imitator because there's all these latent stages, but the same similar class, people don't realize it, is the bacteria that transmits Lyme disease, and maybe that's why there are some people that get sick with all, you know, different types of symptoms and don't really realize it because, you know, it is within the same class, genus. I don't know if you're a, please don't call in, you know, expert zoologist, because I'm sure the phyla, it's lower than phyla, but it's similar. So is that part of the problem, that Lyme, once it's been in your body and it becomes latent, it causes a bunch of other symptoms that
Yes, I completely agree with you on that. Lyme disease can be, you know, like they call syphilis the great masquerader in a way.
Right.
Lyme disease is also that way. Not only can it affect the skin, but it can cause problems with the joints, the nervous system, or heart. And in fact, there's three different phases of Lyme disease. Infection, so early localized infection, and then an early disseminated, as well as a late disseminated infection.
Uh-huh. So what are those? So, because, you know, I'm sure all of us in the emergency room have had people, you know, come in with, say, a Bell's palsy, and that's, you know, where your eye's drooping on one side. So once you've made sure it's not a stroke, in the past we had always said, oh, it's, we don't know what causes Bell's palsy. It might not get better. But now we're finding a high percentage of those, in fact, depending on where you live, of course, could be related to Lyme.
Yes, absolutely. Bell's palsy can be caused by Lyme disease, and it's something to always consider in somebody who lives in an endemic area where there's Lyme, which is typically the northeast part of the United States, mid-Atlantic, north-central United States. So there are certain areas where it's a lot more common. And it's something to always consider in somebody who does have Bell's palsy. And there is testing that can be done to help make that determination.
So what testing? So that's some of the other neurologic. Are there any other types of neurologic presentations that might be Lyme and people might not think about?
Yes, there can be things like encephalopathy or even meningitis, which are basically infections of the brain. Sometimes it can also cause what's called a polyneuropathy, which is inflammation of various nerves throughout the body. So quite commonly when somebody has neurologic symptoms and they're being evaluated by a neurologist, that's one of the tests you often see ordered is Lyme disease, even though the patient may have no history of being exposed to ticks or anything like that. It's something that when there are neurologic symptoms that can't otherwise, cannot be explained, that's definitely something to consider. It can cause a variety of neurologic symptoms that don't necessarily have an apparent cause or mm-hmm. easy to identify cause. So it's something that oftentimes neurologists look for when in their workup of neurologic disorders.
Mm-hmm. And then arthritis is another big issue. Is it specific joints? Can it be anywhere? Do you have to already have damage to a joint to see the arthritis?
No, Lyme disease can cause arthritis or joint pain and inflammation in any joint, but it typically does happen more commonly in the larger joints. Especially the knee is a common area, but it can vary as well, and it can be also you can have pains in a variety of different joints, and then it might end up settling more to inflammation in one specific joint, such as the knee. But that's another thing to always consider as well, and somebody who all of a sudden is having arthritis and never had it before, and I've seen quite a lot of orthopedists also test for that for Lyme disease in patients who are otherwise healthy, haven't had any specific injury to a joint, and yet their knee is swollen and is painful. And so that's another thing mm-hmm. to always consider. So as we've been saying, definitely Lyme can masquerade around as a lot of different symptoms. Especially if it's not treated initially when the tick is first discovered or the initial rash is first noted.
But then there is a treatment once you get these later stages of Lyme disease. Is it that the treatment's longer? The antibiotic treatment is for a longer amount of time?
Yes. Lyme disease is treated and can be easily treated with antibiotics. It's depending on which stage of the infection you're in, it could be antibiotics by mouth, or if it's a more late stage of the infection, then it may be antibiotics by IV. And it really just depends on what exactly the symptoms are and based on that, how long the course of antibiotics will be, but it'll usually be for a few weeks mm-hmm. once you get past that early localized infection.
Right. So it is true. Sometimes the ticks are hard to find. So make sure you cover yourself up when you're outside, shower when you come in, because a lot of ticks will crawl around at first. But then talk to your doctor with a weird constellation of symptoms. This is the Dr. Lee Vanocur Show, Health from the Outside In on Radio MD. Stay tuned into your health.